Man, 2020 has been the craziest year in the world, and if you aren't thinking about getting yourself prepared, then you need to have your head examined. Go check out My Patriot Supply. We've done a deal with them. We've got our own website. We'll get you a discount for it. You go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and right now they're running a discount on 4-week supply. People that sign up through our website get $100 off of these orders. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. If you've watched the first half of 2020 unfold the way it is, and you're not thinking about getting prepared, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, listen, they've got emergency survival food, long-term, short-term, bulk meat and protein kits. They've got all kinds of stuff, survival items, cooking gear, power and lighting, water filtration systems. I mean, it used to be that you would buy these sorts of things in case there might be an emergency like a earthquake or a flood or something like that. Now, every single day seems like a bigger emergency than the one before. Go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Take a look at what they have to offer you. See if it's a fit for you. Get yourself prepared. Do yourself this favor right now while you still have time. Don't be idiotic about this. It's coming. It's coming, people. You got to be prepared. So check out My Patriot Supply and go through our website, preparewithmacroaggressions.com.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macro Aggressions, everybody. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Iconic or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We do appreciate your support. The thing is, when you watch the news talking about the coronavirus, they never tell you the simple things, the honest things, like take care of your body, get some exercise, eat right, get out in the sun, do all these things. They don't want you to be healthy. They want you to be sick. They want you to be dependent on big pharma. But I had a guy on the show a couple of episodes ago named Tim James. He owns a company called Chemical Free Body. They're doing the exact opposite. They want you to be healthy. All of their products are ridiculously made. Certified organic, plant-based, gluten-free, GMO-free, soy-free, dairy-free. It's amazing. They don't just offer products. They have coaching. They have classes. They have free resources. Whatever you want, go to Chemical Free Body first. Check it out. See if you see anything that you like there. If you do, use the promo code MACRO. Get a discount off of your purchase. If you're ordering in the United States, free shipping on anything over $99. But also if you're worldwide, they have shipping available there too as well. So check out Chemical Free Body. Use the promo code MACRO. Start to save some money. Get yourself in better health. You're going to need it. You're going to need it for what's coming in 2020. And so let's get into this. So if anybody knows what we've been experiencing in 2020, it would be documentary filmmaker and my friend Richard Willett, who made the amazing documentary Prime for Panic, Lockdown 2020. And I'm not just saying that because he was nice enough to put me in the film, but I really do believe that. Richard, how's it going? What's cooking in the UK?
Pretty good. What's cooking in the UK? All sorts. It's mental. Absolutely. Bark raving mental, but I'm sure it is probably more elsewhere. I think we're on the lower end of mental at the moment, below bubble mental. But it's mental. So yeah, I can't quite get my head around and believe that we're living in a cartoon world that we're living in. Yeah. I've refused to take part in it and acquiesce to it. On a major scale, I won't go along with any of it. I was in London a couple of days ago filming. I refuse to wear a mask on any underground, any overground, any sort of transport and in any shop. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen. I just won't. I do have a medical condition. I was born without an esophagus, so I am actually exempt. But I feel a little bit like I'm being abused, having to use that as an excuse to not be abused, really, yeah. To be honest. So I shouldn't have to tell anyone that. I shouldn't have to. But yeah, madness here, mate. Absolute madness. I don't think it's quite as mad as it were as you are. But again, what I've noticed is probably what you're seeing on the news is probably not real. And what I'm seeing on the news is not real, the little amount of news I do watch. So I only have a take on what's going on where you are that I'm seeing even in the alternative media. So I don't know the honest truth of what's going on where you are. And I'm sure you probably have a completely different understanding of what's going on where I am, because that's the wedge in the middle, isn't it? It's the Levites in the middle that are lying to you and changing up the reality. So mad, but maybe not the type of mad that you think it is.
Well, you say we live in a cartoon, and I'll tell you, there was a glitch in the Matrix where during the riots, because all of these bricks started showing up on the street corners, and they were from the Acme Brick Company. And I just kept thinking that it was the Roadrunner and Coyote were involved in this as well. So it's very cartoonish. And it's like you said, it's kind of by design. I don't know what's going on in the UK, except for what I see on television or the people that I know there that I talk to. But to be honest with you, I can't be 100% certain that I know what's going on in the United States either, because if I'm getting it from the mainstream media, well, then I know that's a lie. If I'm getting it online at, say, like Twitter, the chances of it being organic are probably better. But by no means is it 100%. So it just depends on, you know, where our camera lens is pointed, you know, and the context behind it. I mean, even then, we watch the media manipulation here in the United States is, you know, it's astronomical. It is to say it's manipulation is an understatement, because it's, you know, 60 years of the CIA being involved in the mainstream media through Operation Mockingbird. You have the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which legalized propaganda inside the United States to be used on Americans. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going on? If I look out my window, if I do the Bill Hicks thing and look out my window, crickets. Man, I don't see any of it. Now, that might not be the most accurate barometer of it. I'm not in New York City. I'm outside of Denver. But still, I don't see the insanity. But do you think, and part of the reason why we don't see the insanity is because we're hiding from an invisible virus, right? We're like tiptoeing around, or, you know, hoping that it doesn't catch us in a local owned business, you know, small privately owned business. We're hoping it doesn't get us there. We know it won't get us in Walmart, because the media told us that the virus doesn't go to Walmart, but it'll get you in a church. So we're hiding from this invisible virus. But it seems to go away over during the last couple of months that we've had. And then it started to creep back up, not in actual cases or anything like that. It's just that all of a sudden the media decided that everybody needed to wear mandatory masks. And I have felt like it was a way to visualize the virus, an invisible virus that you can't see, that didn't seem to be affecting anybody. The numbers seemed to be going down. The stores were opening up. People were going back out. And if you just walked around, you wouldn't see anything. You wouldn't notice anything. But if everybody has a mask on, it is impossible for you to go about your daily routine and not think that something horrible is happening. So are they trying to make a visual representation of an invisible thing?
I agree. I think that's spot on exactly what they're trying to do. It's that little reminder that it hasn't gone away, or whatever they believe was there in the first place hasn't gone away. I think it's completely true. Everybody, it's like everybody's walking in the street shadowboxing. There's no one there hitting back. Everybody's shadowboxing. And as you say, it's an invisible thing. And what David Icke points out, and many others have pointed out actually, is this virus, because it's just, it seems to be like any sort of cold-like symptoms, could be it, they can just add these things on. So it doesn't really matter. It actually can just be as widespread as possible. I mean, they're saying even obese people could get it now. People can't have like sex with their partner without a mask on. I mean, it's literally, you can add the absurdity to it, because if you have a televirus, as I call it, you can basically say the symptoms could be anything. I can say the symptoms can be your hair falling out, but I could also say it's something, an itchy nail.
That's Alyssa Milano would agree with you on the hair falling out thing. She said
that's no, I think it might be. Yeah, I think see, exactly. So she's clasped onto that one. That's the hair falling out, is it? She's the only person, by the way, that's happening to. Because it's a phantom, you can put any sort of detail around it. The mask wearing, as you get back to that, that's a reminder of it hasn't gone away, or we don't want you to think it hasn't gone away, as one of the aspects of it. I can find nothing more intrusive than asking people to wear a mask. And what I had to do to not stop wearing a mask on the trains, I had to get a badge to say this is ridiculous. And if you go on my Twitter and you can see it, I have a badge saying I have an invisible illness. Well, it's not bloody invisible anymore, is it? If I put a badge on and tell everyone about it,
no.
How invisible is that? So that's basically a visible disability. I can't remember what it says. So I have to have a badge to not wear a mask. This is the layers of insanity is going on. Yeah. So I won't get hassled on a train. In the UK, we're quite standoffish, so we don't tend to hassle each other too much. But you get the odd nutter who will do. We're dealing with something we can't see. What a great enemy.
Yeah.
What's the best enemy?
Even better than terrorism, right?
Of course it is,
because terrorism was always this invisible concept. You know, I mean, it's an invisible enemy that could be here or could be there. We always have to be fearful of it. Could be a jihadi, could be somebody that's so deep undercover that they're actually a jihadi, but you wouldn't know it. So we have to take off our shoes when we get on airplanes. We have to take off our shoes. That is, you know, that's a step. That's a step towards everybody wearing the mask. Take your shoes off, put your shoes back on, take a mask, put the mask on. I've joked about this, but I honestly don't. I don't think I'm too far off that if tonight on the mainstream media in unison, they all said and dragged out that maniac Fauci, they said, listen, this virus, because of the temperature of the air and the weight of the virus and how it moves, it likes to hover at about 4 feet off the ground. So everybody needs to get on their hands and knees and crawl through the stores when you go in, because that way Richard, I'm telling you, there would be lines at Walmart tomorrow morning of people on their hands and knees ready to crawl into the store. The people are fucking retarded. They will do whatever their television tells them. I have lost so much respect for Americans, you know, in particular, but really, I mean, the world in general, just we have just outsourced our critical thinking to the mainstream media. And that is so dangerous. I see it happening here in the US, and I understand we've got an election that we're working towards and they're using that. But how are they working you guys over? I mean, for us, it's variations of it. But how does Boris Johnson have the audacity to stand up in front of all of you and tell you that you have to all wear masks? Like, who the fuck gives this guy the authority to make this decision? And what has the response been in the UK?
Well, you're right. No one's given him the authority to do it. He's taking the authority to do it. And then people have listened. Enough people have listened for the media to be able to inflame that amount to make it seem like they're more. It's more than. And then that's become a mind virus in people. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't got any authority. No one has got any authority on the planet to tell you where to wear a mask or take a vaccine or drink this or eat this. No one has. You're a sovereign being. So no one has the authority. You don't have authority. You don't take anything from anyone. So he hasn't got any authority. He works at the very most. He works for the citizens. He's employed by us, not the other way around.
I don't think he sees it that way. I would imagine none of them see it that way. I mean, we have our politicians. They think that we all work for them, and that it's the opposite. But So you and I have done a lot of work together. We understand this control. So, I mean, maybe we don't know every last detail of it, but we understand there is a massive control system. There is somebody above these politicians that is making them, that is telling them that this is the plan from now on. There's a variety. We're seeing a massive overreach in Australia, specifically in Melbourne. We're seeing it in New Zealand, where that lady is an authoritarian wacko. And it's almost like these various countries are showing off, trying to see who can out-authoritarian the other one. You know, whether it's Australia, where that guy is dressed in a Nazi SS uniform in Australia, giving the, you know, on camera saying that if you don't, you know, we've had to knock people, you know, we've had to break windows and pull people out of cars to check their I mean, do they not realize that this is like 1939 Germany? I mean, this is we're starting to see overlap here. Who's setting this international agenda? What is going on? I mean, I don't know that you necessarily have the answer, but let's talk this out. Like, who the hell could be possibly behind this? Is it the same people that we always suspect?
Yeah, I as you say, it's like Nazi Germany. This is what Jim Marx called the Fourth Reich. I have no doubt about this. It's the Fourth Reich. They never went away. Germany were defeated at the end of the war. The German army were, as I say, defeated. They weren't defeated. They drew the lost card, and you'll understand why when I explain how these things work. And most of your listeners will understand this anyway. But for anyone new to this information, this is all controlled. Every outcome is controlled before they get into it. So the Nazi Party never went away. The Nazi Party were never defeated. They infiltrated. We know they went to NASA. We know that after they went to NASA, they went into big pharma, big tech, and they went into big business, big banking. Basically, what has happened is we have a global corporation, one global corporation run by the elite banking families, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Goldschmidts, the Meridian, I can never say that, their family bloodline, and beyond that into the Vatican to names we've never known. They're the ones that really are controlling it, because they control the wealth, the money. They print the money. They control the private banking families, control the private corporations that control the governments, that control the people. It's very, very simple. That's the way it is. And whichever way you move the blocks around, if you want to look at communism or fascism, doesn't really matter. The very, very top are the private banking families and these Illuminati, if you want to use that word, or predator class bloodlines that have been there for thousands of years. They're the ones that we need to be looking at. But instead of we're dicking around watching Trump have a go at Biden or Boris Johnson talk nonsense, it's all theatre. We know that. We know that that's pure, pure theatre. And the biggest thing that we can do in the Western world is understand that there is no such thing as democracy. Your vote has no use other than to put whichever Muppet in there who's going to do as they're told anyway. It doesn't matter how many times you need to keep doing that before you realize whoever's in the White House or number 10 Downing Street has no pull at all other than to be a easier manipulated puppet. You might get the very odd one that causes a pain in the ass, like a JFK, and then what happens to them? You're not going to get a JFK now. It's not going to happen now. It's too tight. This was a long time ago when that happened. It's been even more tighter now. So Boris Johnson, I mean, look at the where they come from, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, they all come from the same places. They all go to things like Skull and Bones and have a wank in a coffin. These are the people that are running your country. They're not running your country. They're the mouthpieces. Yeah. Donald Trump is a pro wrestler. He went into the wrestling. He learned how to do the good cop, bad cop. Vince McMahon's the baddie, the corporate baddie, and Trump's the goodie. But he's a bit rogue, Stone Cold Steve Austin-like. Watch pro wrestling if you want to understand. If you want to understand how politics done, it's called a good heels and baby faces, good cop, bad cop. It's nonsense. It's theatre. And then we have documentaries, like the one came out today. The documentary, you're not supposed to be able to see it. It's on YouTube, and it's all about Cambridge Analytica and how they used Trump. And mate, I mean, it's quite clearly the lady who's just produced it. She's apparently been arrested today. To me, pure theatre, completely pure theatre with a lot of actual truth in it, but it's been twisted in a way to make Trump look good. And it's clearly a propaganda piece for that. So if you go and watch it now, it's actually a lot of truth in there. But then you look at the work of someone like Neil Sanders, who's done incredible work on Cambridge Analytica, and you understand that all of these people are using this technology. And they're having a go at each other because they're narcissists. But really, they answer to the global corporations who are run by the banking cartels, the banking families, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Goldsmiths, the DuPonts, the Merovingians, and the Black Nobility and the Vatican. All roads lead to Rome. London was the new Troy, Londonia. Yeah. It is Rome. All roads lead back to that. So what people need to understand is don't get caught up in the politics. That's a shit show. It's the banking families, the banking cartels. It'll always lead back to that. So what we're dealing with now is a global corporation, one global corporation, and one global bank account that they all dip into, including the Bill Gates of the world, dips into that one global bank account set up by the banking elites, and then puts out and does what he's told to do. His part is eugenics. His part is get everyone vaccinated and tagged and your DNA in a pot and get you surveilled. That's his job. But he's employed by the banking families. He was Microsoft was set up because IBM gave him the money to start Microsoft because his mum was very close to the heads of IBM who did who controlled the technology for the Nazis. It's not fucking rocket science. It literally isn't rocket science because these rocket scientists are. I'm not the brightest spark in the world, but I can work that out. What we're seeing now is Nazism. It's the Nazis. But in the 1930s, they came out with suits on and they came out and did it in your face. These fucking cowards won't come out and do it to your face. The Fauci's of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, because they're geeks. And they're cowards. They're the sort of kid at school that you would, if they come up to you and start to tell you off, you'd laugh at them.
Yeah.
I'll go, oh, fuck off, you idiot. They're the dunces. They're the ones in that didn't have any girlfriends. That's why they're angry. They had no friends. They were outcasts. That's why they're angry. So what the banking families and the banking cartels have done really well is gone, oh, look, these geeks are very good with technology, but they're angry because they never had any girlfriends. They were outcasts. They're bullied at school. Let's give them all this power. And an Elon Musk. Let's give them all this power. It'll go to their head and they'll love it. And they'll have all girls and they'll have all the money and have the cars, the stuff they never could have had. And they'll go crazy with it. And then we'll control them. And that's what's happened. The geeks have inherited the earth because the banking families have given it to them. Yeah. And these geeks are the Nazis. It's a Nazi party. You don't have to look at someone like, is it Darren Adams? I can't remember his name. The guy from, is it Victoria? In Australia. I can't remember his name.
Sure.
Look at the way they behave. They're Nazis.
Yeah.
They're fascist Nazis. That's what we're seeing. It's the Fourth Reich. It's exactly what it is, mate. Run by the banking families that originally funded the Third Reich. It's the same thing.
There's this documentary that I've watched out of the UK called The Spider's Web. And it talks, it's Britain's Second Empire, I think is the subtitle. And it's interesting, and people that are want to know a little bit more about banking, what they're talked about in this documentary was that after the Egypt fiasco in the 50s, or maybe it was the 60s, I think it was the 50s, the British Empire lost its pull. They lost its authority as America was on the rise, Britain was declining, and that they started to lose their colonies, their overt colonies in India and, you know, throughout the world. But what they did was they made a smart maneuver into banking, offshore banking and things like that. So it's fascinating to see. And this is not talking about the banking families as you and I are. This is talking about just the concept of offshore banking run through the city of London, not to be confused with London itself, but the city state of called the City of London, which is about 2 square miles. And in there, they developed, you know, Bermuda, Cayman Islands, Jersey, Guernsey, all these offshore havens that they controlled. And they showed how that power that they had, that overt power that they had, the power that they had to turn India into a British colony, that had gone away, but it had been replaced by a more underground and sinister, covert method of control through banking. And so we see, you know, so for people that are hearing this going, well, how can the bankers really control things? Oh, the bankers control a lot. You know, you might think that the politicians control, but the blood that flows through this world that keeps everything alive and keeps everything going is money, 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 money. And these bankers have it. And to see how it worked in the offshore system through this Spider's Web documentary was fascinating. To hear and know how it works in the through these major bloodline families, which, you know, I think a lot of people might hear bloodline and kind of be dismissive of it. It's like, well, hang in there with us a little bit on the bloodlines, because it might not matter to you and me or to the listener, like bloodline, who cares? To them, it's everything. It's a big deal. It's to the point where they don't allow non-bloodline people to intermarry and breed and things like that. Like, it sounds crazy to the normal regular person that doesn't think about those types of things, but it, especially in the UK, I mean, you guys know how important this bloodline family is. And when in America, we dig back, we look at these presidents, and then they do ancestry.com or whatever and run a test, and they go, hey, did you know that Barack Obama is related to Dick Cheney? And you go, oh, that sounds, you know, crazy. And you go, well, hang on, did you realize that all these former presidents are all related to each other? And you're like, wait a second, what's going on here? How can that possibly be? And it's because at this high level that we're not involved in, we're not invited to see, these maniacs really do protect their own bloodline. And it's crazy that we see that. And they've been able to control this world through the through banks, through money and things like that. But now, as we get into this more digital world, we're seeing that money converted into a digital format. We're talking about the United States is talking about a Fed coin and things like that. And, you know, obviously Bitcoin and cryptos and things of those natures are making an appearance. And the bankers have had to bring in the tech geeks, as you talk about, to help them with their plan of world enslavement. And we're getting to this point now where we're talking about vaccines. We're talking about making vaccines for coronavirus, a disease that is so deadly that you have to get tested for it just to know whether or not you have it. that it has a 99% survival rate if you get it, but we need to get a vaccine and we need to rush it. And Bill Gates is in charge of it with his faulty technology. Like, what could possibly go wrong, huh?
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, half of them don't know what they're doing, but also the ones that do, some of them, it's all compartmentalized. With the Bitcoin thing, I still see people in the alternative media that are pushing Bitcoin. And in that's a big red flag for me. If you can't understand that if everything's digital, then we're in serious danger. If something's not physical in the world, it's hypothetically on a screen, it just takes an off button for your digital currency to disappear overnight. If cash goes, then we're in some real trouble. And as soon as the coronavirus started, or COVID-19, they're not calling it COVID-19 in this country anymore, it's gone back to coronavirus. At the start of that, they were trying to demonize cash. You could get it in cash, but you'd hand someone cash. Oh, we can't take cash, but they'd hand your receipt back. It's fucking paper, you idiot. It's madness, but they would do it, and you would laugh. But you would like, you all right? You serious? But this, the don't underestimate the problems we will be in if we go down the Bitcoin, the Bitcoin currency, the cryptocurrency route. We will be in a social credit system in like China in no end. And China's not full social credit, but it's getting that way, and it will be very, very soon. Social credit means if you've been a bad boy, your money be taken away. They'll take your pocket money away. You will be taken. It's as simple as that. Whether you've earned it or not, they'll just cut off your supply. That, and not only will they cut off your supply, anyone trying to help you they'll cut off their supply. So you'll become an outcast because no one could help you. You might go to your friend and go, well, I've been cut off. Can you help me? They'll go, I can't because they've cut me off. Yeah. It literally will be like that. We can't go to digital currency. Even Bill Gates has taken out a, a patent on biocurrency. So it's basically they're going to give you a task on your phone and you complete the task and they'll know for your biometrics and your chip in your hand whether you've done the task or not. And then they'll give you cryptocurrency from it. You'll be a rat on a wheel. He's taking out the patent for that. It's a cryptocurrency. So this vaccine, whether that's going to, I mean, I don't think the first vaccine is going to have chips in it or anything like that, but I think it's going to somewhere along the line. Also, you have to understand what they're going to do with your DNA. They want your DNA. Why do they want your DNA? Why are they so desperate to get your DNA and to change your DNA as well? Mm. That's exactly what they'll be doing. Everything will be digitized. But the cryptocurrency is one of those blockings that we need. And I believe 5G, the rollout of 5G, none of this can work without 5G and none of this can work without cryptocurrency, full-fledged cryptocurrency, because them two things are your lifeline. 5G needs the technology, can't do without it. It's the bloodline for the technology. Without that speed, they can't run out all of these track trace things, all of these surveillance. They can't do it because they haven't got the infrastructure. And without the cryptocurrency in, there's still cash out there. Why do you think drug barons put cash in a bag, put cash in a suitcase when they do exchanges? Because it's harder to trace. If everything you do is traced on your tracking, on your phone, and it will be on your Black Mirror, you're lost. You won't be able to eat. And the people around you won't be able to help you because they'll be lost. And you'll become basically isolated. That terrifies me more, the social credit system, than anything else, because me and you putting this information out, we would be cut off straight away.
Oh, yeah.
Then freedom of speech is gone. And then where are we? And I feel like the conspiracy theorists have really been the wedge to keep holding back the flood of this. I think they would have steamrolled this if people like David Icke or even Alex Jones, for all of his own problems, and people like us, but people who have got bigger audiences like Jordan Maxwell, if we hadn't been talking about these things for so long, they would have steamrolled this through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we don't have access to be able to put this information out and earn a living, then we are in trouble. And cryptocurrency and social credit system means a gagging of this information, and that can't happen.
Let's talk about 5G, because early on in this situation, David came out and started talking about it on London Real, and boom, I mean, people just, the traditional media flipped out. There was a massive attack against London Real, against David Icke personally. But you know, I've watched videos, or I've heard people talk, or I've read articles about how the introduction of new technology, be it, you know, radio waves, television waves, satellite TV, electricity going through electrical poles, every time a new technology like this is introduced into the public, there's a certain amount of health effects that come as a byproduct of this, as an unwanted feature. But it seems to be that, you know, people sort of get used to it, or they move on. So when David comes out and says that it is possible that 5G being flipped on has created side effects that have the same side effects of coronavirus, that maybe this coronavirus situation is the cover story for the side effects of 5G. Now, that's just, to me, that's a reasonable extrapolation of this. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what's happening. I'm not saying that that's accurate. I'm just saying that it is reasonable to question something like this, especially if you're David, who has this background. Why was there such a freak out? I mean, my feeling is if they're freaking out about him talking about this, he's got to be right over the target, right? Is 5G what's really doing this? Or is it coronavirus? I mean, or is there really just a bad flu going around? Any ideas? Do we know? Does David know?
From what I can tell, I know from doing a film with last, I think we spent 5 months in the latter part last year and early this year, making a documentary called Unnatural, which you can see on Iconic now, iconic.com. And Jamie Icke directed that one. And I know at 60 gigahertz, it affects the blood oxygen level. So it definitely affects your blood, the amount of oxygen your blood can take around your body. It does, which will give you symptoms, flu-like symptoms. So for to extrapolate, as you say, just to even question that and say, well, maybe that has happened, then you add on top of that 3G and 4G that's still there. So you're an electromagnetic soup, which 100 years ago, none of this existed. So we are being bombarded with it everywhere. So you have a viral load. You have an electromagnetic load. We know we're electromagnetic beings. We know that our sweat ducts are conductors for EMF, for microwaves. We know that. So we are actually getting this. So the more 5G connections about, more phones that will be about which connected 5G, the closer you'll be to it. So you'll be acting, your phone will be acting as an antenna. Do I think it was, do you think it kicked this off? I don't, but what I think it could have done was lowered people's immune system enough to not able to fight off something that they would have usually fought off. Gotcha. In a place where it's hard to bloody breathe anyway. So I think it could have made people more susceptible to it because it would have affected their immune system. Add to that the amount of stuff that we've had to happen to us over the last, say, 100 years, food-wise, drinking water, now the technology, vaccines we don't really need, flu vaccines we don't need. I think our immune systems have been compromised. I think that goes back to the fact that I don't think these bloodlines that you talked about earlier, inbreeding bloodlines, don't have the immune system we have. And I think in my heart of hearts, from the information and the research I've done, they're incredibly jealous of our immune system. They're trying to destroy our immune system. Mm. And that's their target. Because actually, I think we're a super, but it's not the word I'm looking for. We are a much more evolved race than these bloodlines are. Because of the amount of blood interbreeding they've done through the years, the amount of abuse they've put their bodies through, sexual abuse that they've put their people through, their own families through. I think they're compromised. They're immune compromised. We're not as much. And I think that's incredibly jealous. They live for a long, long time because of the best medical care. And they probably have access to cures to things that we should have had cures for. But look at the state of them. They don't look well.
No.
They never look well. And you leave them alone after a month without adrenochrome, look at the state of them. They do look awful, whether you think that's a myth or not. I don't know. But these people suddenly look very ill quite quickly and then suddenly look fine again. So there's something going on there. They're not like us. And as you say, they are connected. They are in the same bloodlines. We know that Hitler even had Adolf Hitler has, there was a strong evidence to suggest he's a Rothschild. That his great grandmother, I believe, had his dad or his granddad via one of the Rothschilds while she was working as a maid at one of his mansions. There is very good evidence to know that he's Barbara Bush. There's evidence to know that she was involved with Aleister Crowley. That was possibly his dad. We know there is a bloodline connection there. Then they do keep it in the family. That's where that saying comes from. Keep it in the family. Yeah. So I think, as you just said, I've got a bit off topic here, but I think our immune system is what they're after. Mm. They're kind of slowly asphyxiating us with masks, with vaccines, with bad food, without the medical care we're going to need, with 5G. It's almost like a slow version of asphyxiation, like what happened in the concentration camps. It did it overtly, quickly. They can't do it overtly, quickly anymore. There's too many of us. There's nearly 8 billion of us, I believe.
Yeah.
But they can slowly do it.
Yeah.
And I think they're slowly asphyxiating, especially the elderly, like they've done in the care homes, especially here. I think they're doing it to everyone. They're lowering our sperm rates. They're lowering our population rates. They're lowering the length of our life and the quality of our life. They're slowly suffocating humanity. That, to me, is a Nazi tactic.
Yeah.
And I believe they do it now, but they do everything covertly because they haven't got the fucking guts to come out and do it to you because there's too many of us. And they know, because of social media, how quickly on a dime a few thousand people will be trampled over if 7 billion of us went, no, not having this anymore.
Yeah.
Not having it. And they're very close. They're very close of pushing it too far. And one good thing about, if you study the psychopath, they always overplay their hand. Always. They always overplay it. They're too far, too arrogant, too cocky, and then very, very stupid. They're not bright people. They are childlike in their reactions. They are not able to hold back their reactions. They're not able to rationalize things. They get they anger easy. They're like petulant children. So really, we're doing this to ourselves, not me and you, but because there's this vast wedge of people that still don't understand that your government have no power. They are controlled by a banking cartel, a big business that's coming out of the Vatican. And I think it's the Rothschilds have banks, central private banks in all but three countries.
Yeah.
Come on. They control money. So they control people. If they control people, they get people to, like Epstein, to do blackmailing operations. And then that controls people, and that controls politicians. And it's bizarre that people can't see that politics is only anything but illusion. And I think that's the big wedge that we need as researchers to hammer in home. Doesn't matter who you vote for. They are only there because they're chosen to be there. They're only there because they're allowed to be there. They wouldn't even got on the ballot box. They wouldn't even got anywhere near that far if they weren't useful to this agenda. And if you want to know what the agenda is, look at Agenda 2030, look at the Great Reset, look at Project for the New American Century, look at Silent Weapons of Quiet Wars. Even go and look at the protocols. Everybody said the protocols aren't real, they're fake. Well, look at them and have a look around you.
Right.
Even if they were a made up load of nonsense, they're still pretty bloody clear and they're still pretty bloody full on that they're getting there. So we can't keep ignoring these little signs that have been, read 1984, read Brave New World. Both of them were well in with all of these people.
For sure.
And they knew each other. They studied together. One of them taught the other. I think Aldous Huxley taught George Orwell. I think it was geography or something like that. They were trying to drop hints through the years. All the great filmmakers did before they died.
Yeah.
They all tried, but
you
don't listen.
As a filmmaker, you've got a different, you see things differently. I feel like this has been over the last 40 years or so, probably before that, but a blending of entertainment and politics together, where politics has become a form of entertainment. I mean, we love to hate, you know, Boris Johnson and Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump, and these people have turned into, it's entertainment for us. Mm-hmm. And they've kept the masses sort of focusing on this, where we don't even notice that in comes, you know, in scene two, stage right, in comes Jimmy Savile. And we just applaud and go, isn't he an unusual fella? He's doing Jim will fix it. And he's running for charity. And he's, oh, yeah, he's murdering children and everything. And working at, you know, working at hospitals, you know, has his own key to Broadmoor for fuck all knows why. But we're watching this like it's some sort of movie without acknowledging the fact that, hey, hang on a second. These people are maniacs and they're telling us what to do. Jimmy Savile is counseling Prince Charles and Diana on their marriage. Was Jack the Ripper not available for to help out? I mean, like, what are we doing here? It's turned into like theater of the absurd. And I would imagine that someone like you, as a filmmaker, who sort of pulls back and sees the whole, this has got to be maddening for you to watch all of these people. Not even you talk about like Plato's Allegory of the Cave, right? How there's this masterful performance going on that in our heads we think is a performance, when in actuality we're just watching shadows on the wall extrapolating all these things. Meanwhile, what's really happening around us in real life, we wouldn't believe if one of the people from the cave slipped out, saw reality. Like, I think of you and me as the people that slipped out of the cave, looked around and said, holy shit, the world is totally different from what we have always thought. And you go back and try and tell these people, They don't want to hear it. So as a documentary filmmaker, is that a struggle for you where you're on it? You're on this accurate information and you get it out to the public and the public goes, I don't want this. I don't want the truth. I want that. I want fiction. I want what I've been. It's got to be frustrating to see so clearly what is happening. And I'm not trying to say that you know it all, of course, or that I know it all. But to see this agenda so clearly, to do these films like Prime for Panic, for Unnatural, and then to watch people go, oh, you're full of it, Richard. That stuff can't be happening. I mean, how do you reconcile that?
I think what you do is you just say, okay, I'm going to make this. And you look at your own legacy and your own life and you go, this is what is right. This is what I believe is right. I'm going to make this and I'm going to leave this and then I'm going to fuck off this planet. Mm-hmm. And then I've done my bit because it's not my responsibility to do anything more than I can. It's no one else's responsibility to do any more than they can. I know these things. I've done the research and there's obviously clearly you don't know what you don't know, right? So there's obviously going to be a lot more I don't know. There'd be things I think are right now that won't turn out to be so. But it's probably more frustrating with people you know than people you don't know.
Mm, yeah.
But really, it's kind of like you learn to go, okay, this is what I'm here to do. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And then my job's just to lead the horse to water and go, it's water there, mate. If you don't want to drink it, if you want to sit your ass in it, it's fine. If you want to drown in it, fine. But I've done my bit. And I think that's all you can really do. It used to be more frustrating than it is now. I think as you get older, I've just had a little one myself. Your priorities change, your whole kind of thing changes. And you go, okay, what do I want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
I want to be remembered for someone who worked with the likes of yourself or David Icke or Jordan Maxwell or Max Egan. I want to be remembered as someone who tried to put truths out there, tried to wake people up to go, look, government's the nonsense. It's theatre, as you say. It's a big show. Theater for the masses. You need to look at these banking families and you need to look off that as well. And then you need to look at how you've been manipulated and why. And was it easier for you to go along with it? It is easier for me to wear the mask, just pop the mask on and go in the shop. Just don't worry about it. But then part of your soul disintegrates. Yeah. And then you have to. So, yeah, it can be frustrating. It can be frustrating, but it's not so much anymore. I kind of find it funny now. Because it really depends on what you think your responsibility is. Because people have every right to just turn around and look at my films and go, that's fucking bollocks, isn't it? That's nonsense. Because you can't have both. I can't go out and say, this is the way the world is, but don't tell people how to think. So you kind of just have to go, this is what I believe. This is my research. I've done quite a lot of it. Go and have a look. Does that make more sense to you than what you're doing? Because you've got a mask on your face. You're walking into the shops with gloves on. But you can take the mask off when you go into the pub with the same people. Does it not make sense to you that it's a bit mental? Now more than ever, it's a bit mental. And if you can't see that things are a bit mental now, then I really don't know what more there is to you. I either think that you're terrified or you really just don't want to take responsibility for having to stand up for yourself. And that's fair enough because we're from day one, we're bullied into acquiescence. From the day we're here, we're told to listen to teachers, listen to your parents, listen to the police, listen to this, listen to anyone with a uniform on. Yeah. Fuck off. No.
Yeah.
Fuck off. You don't know any better than me. Wizard of Oz. He was behind the curtain dicking around. You and I know that we have our own expertise, but whenever you find someone half pissed and half cut, you really start to see, they don't know what they're doing, do they? And that's the case with everyone. It's a uniform. It's a pretense. These people that are telling you to wear a mask right now, telling you to stay in your home, are you doing that because you believe it to be the right thing? Or are you doing that because they've got a uniform on and they've frightened you? And what are you going to lose? You're in prison in your own home or you're in prison. What are they going to say to you? I'll lock you up. You've just locked me up. You've just locked me up in my own house. I would rather have my own self-worth, because you'll drink yourself stupid, or you'll do drugs, or you'll be angry to your partner, you'll turn into someone you hate, like Gollum. It'll eat you alive if you don't stand up for what you know is right. And it's going to be scary, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be awful. But one day you're not going to be on this planet. And then you're going to go, wasn't that bad? So was it? It was a bit silly. It was like worrying about the paintings in a corridor on the way down and worrying about how wonky they are. You're going to come to the end of that corridor and go out the other end. This isn't forever, this life. It's not forever. Yeah. So nothing lasts forever. So even those moments of uncomfortableness are not going to last forever.
So, so many people think that they're doing the right thing. They're wearing the mask, not for themselves, but because they're a good person, and they are a good. Let's just say they are a good person, or let's just say that. And they see their actions as helping the less fortunate, like the immunocompromised or whatever. So they'll see themselves as being virtuous in wearing the mask because they're so thoughtful that they're thinking of other people. They will see non-mask wearing people like us as the enemy. So they won't see us as free thinking people that aren't playing that game. They'll see us as actively nullifying, discounting what they're doing. They're putting their mask on, going out and doing all these things, and then we are canceling them out by going out without our mask on, and they're resentful and they're angry. And that's why people are fighting each other in grocery stores and filming maniac Karens going nuts about, you're not wearing your mask, and other people say, I'm not wearing my mask, and there's masks for sale, and they're tearing down the whole mask display at Target and flipping out and stuff. I mean, it would be funny. I mean, it is funny, but I mean, it would be funnier if it wasn't so serious, and that like where the good people think, you know, the people that think they're doing the right thing for the common good and helping everybody out, what they don't see is three steps ahead where we're looking, which is, you think the mask is the finish line? The mask is the starting line. The mask is where this stuff begins. It never ends. It's going to be the mandatory vaccine. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It's going to be ratting out your neighbors. It's going to be – it's a step. It's just one step, but it's a step towards totalitarianism. And when you say that to somebody, they go, fuck off. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're always looking for the worst and everything. It's like, no. I don't want this to happen. I'm being objective and looking at it from a different angle and saying, you guys are all walking into a trap here and you don't recognize it because it's being sold to you as a virtue. And that's the most devious thing. And you and I, a lot of us in the alternative media, we criticize these maniacs that are running this world, and rightfully so, because they deserve it. But man, I'll tell you what, they think these things out. They role play this. Obviously, they role play it like Event 201 and Crimson Contagion and Lockstep and all these things. They actually role play them. But they're thinking about how we will behave. They've run this through the Tavistock Institute, no doubt. They've run psychological operations to figure out how we're going to behave. They've got us down. They've got us figured out. They know that we will divide ourselves into smaller and smaller groups and fight Black Lives Matter, you know, Antifa, non-Antifa, mask wearers, non-mask wearers. And they've got us all figured out here. And so to explain to somebody that is a good person, a really honestly good person looking out for humanity, they wear that mask, they think they're doing the right thing by it, in their head they are. How can you even get through to that person? Because in their mind, they're virtuous. They're doing what needs to be done. And we're the disease. And it's so frustrating for me. I've gotten to the point. I wonder if you have too. Although you've got quite a big mouth on you, which I really, really fucking love. But I have found myself shutting down in a lot of situations and not talking about stuff mask related or around a lot of people, because I don't know what the response is going to be. And I'm militant, man, but I have to like keep myself in check. It has become like, it's become like a scarlet letter, you know, in a way. People are, you know, non-mask wearers are discriminated against. It's fascinating to me, the psychological, you know, experiment that they put us through, and they wonder why we're revolting. This is incongruent with our brains. Our brains are telling us something is wrong.
Yeah, there's a few things to unpack there. I think what's happened is really interesting, that because they've divided us into two camps, not mask wearers and mask wearers. I mean, that's just beautifully divided. Now, what would be a problem for me is if the mask wearers let the non-mask wearers just go about their lives.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
And vice versa. We let them go about their lives. Yeah. So what we're going to see is a Brave New World sort of divide there. You're going to have you in your cities, your technocratic world where you're connected to 5G, you're wearing your mask, you've got a bit of money in the bank, your social credit's there. You probably don't have to do much. Get up in the morning and basically ride a bike so the electric will stay on for the rest of the city. And then you go back to sleep. That's literally, I think, a Black Mirror episode. That's fine. If you want to go into there, and I don't have a problem with people doing that, it's their life. But don't drag me into the fucking system with you, because I will be happily go live in a shed in the woods.
Right.
And I think that's what we're going to have to see is a clear divide, a split. And then what better way to half 7 billion people, color load of old people, than half the rest.
Yeah.
And then control that lot. And these lot don't really matter because they're off grid. And they can never get to these lot because they don't have an internet connection. There's a wedge there. So these lot can no longer tell these lot what's happening in this world. There's two separate worlds. So the Brave New World is the world, is not the new world. The Brave New World is the old world that we used to live in 30, 40 years ago without all this technology. That's the Brave New World, to live without it, to go without the things you've been addicted to, that you become reliant on. So we'll go back to telling these stories around the campfire, go back to sitting and having to eat stuff that we no longer eat because we just go down the shops. We'll have to go backwards a bit. We will have to do that. And I see that happen. And you have to make the decision. You're going to go that way or that way. You will have to go back into this Brave New World where things are harder, but a lot more peaceful, a lot more simple. You'll tell stories. I would be the storyteller instead of the documentary maker. That'd be my job. And you would give me some food to tell the stories of the old world and keep those stories going. But there'll be a wedge between that world and that world. And this world will be the technocrat world. And we'll be the weirdos living in the woods. And you have to be fine with that. And there'll be the weirdos living in the technological world, the robots. And they have to be fine with that too. I don't think it's going to be a technology cyborg versus humans. I think it's going to be people who are reliant on technology, probably half cyborg, and the humans. The human plus, they're called. I think it's Wayne McCroy in his book calls it human plus, and the humans. And you're going to have to decide. And what's going to be really hard is when your kids want to go and live in the technology world because they were born into it. They were born locked in, born rewired, born connected, whereas we weren't. We're the last generation. I mean, I'm nearly 40, so there's not much difference between the two of us. We knew what it was like before this technology came in, but we'll be the last generation. The last, and that's a really important point. Anyone around about our age, I would say 30 plus, needs to realize the responsibility you have to keep the knowledge of the old technology-less, digital technology-less world alive. Keep those stories alive. Keep those films coming. Make those podcasts. Tell those stories. Keep that alive, because that is what they're trying to erase, control, alt, delete from the kids that are coming up today.
The Unabomber was right.
I watched the Unabomber 2 days ago. I watched the document, not him, but I watched the documentary a couple of days ago. And he was right. He just went about it in the wrong way. Don't go around killing people. But yes, of course he was right. The manifesto he wrote was right. But you don't go around.
You don't
two wrongs don't make a right, do they?
Yeah.
No, not at all. But of course, what he was saying was right. That's what's going to come about, because that's the only solution I can see, is there's a complete split. But the split will be within families, and that's where the heartbreak's going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the heartbreaks will come, because you will have to decide. But how are we going to? So then you'll have this world where people have children into this world, into the world that we lived in probably 40 years ago. And you'll have this technology world where people will have kids in hatcheries, like they say in Brave New World. Mm-hmm. There'll be different types. There'll be different people. There'll be two races, two human races. There'll be human race and human plus. And then there'll be the technocrats and the elites that govern them, like in the Hunger Games. What world do you want to live in? One of them's probably easier to live in, but you have no freedoms. The other one, you have all the freedoms, but you have a shitload of responsibility.
Yeah.
That seems to be the choice that we might come to.
We get this predictive programming that we see through movies, of course, as you mentioned, Hunger Games and things like that. it's a softening up of our will, or it's planting the seeds that the future will look like this, this dystopian nightmare, so that as it unfolds in front of our eyes, it's not as overwhelming a task to get on board with it, because I've been, you know, you've been seeing it. Hey, we're making robots at Boston Dynamics that are, you know, doing incredible things. Like, oh, well, I've been watching movies with robot, you know, R2-D2. Great. He's going to help me get out, you know, blow up the Death Star. You know, this is all going to be good. Well, I've also seen the Terminator movies where those robots turn into, you know, are fighting wars and are trying to kill the people. So I feel like this, whether it be Aldous Huxley and George Orwell and writing the, or Philip K. Dick writing these science fiction novels that are set, you know, into the future, you get the feeling that they're maybe not, you know, building the actual roads, but they're certainly tearing down the trees in a way that puts you on a path towards that happening, creating this situation where we're kind of half in that world anyway. We've grown up with this as science fiction. It's not totally foreign to us. We've seen the movie RoboCop. So when Singapore rolls out these robots that are policing the parks, we go, oh, that's kind of like RoboCop. And then half of us remember, yeah, but in RoboCop murdered everybody in the boardroom too. You know what I mean? Yeah, remember yeah. when things went poorly? So it's like, I feel like you as a documentary filmmaker that's tackling these real topics, like you are doing your best to sort of remind everybody that this dystopian future that they've pre-planned for us, that they're using predictive programming to lay out for us. It's like they're doing that and we're going to the movie theaters and we're watching these movies and we're cheering, and you're over here making these other movies saying, be very careful of this. Be careful of this agenda that they're rolling out, because, you know, if there was any justice in this world, which of course we don't think that there is, your movies would have as much as big of an audience as the Terminator movies. But unfortunately, we see that entertainment worlds and that whole pipeline is controlled by these maniacs as well. So we don't get the opportunities that the other people get, the people that are playing ball, the people, the directors, Ridley Scott's and people, Steven Spielberg's, that have an agenda, that are showing a specific version of either humanity now or in the future through Minority Report or iRobot or, you know, all of these dystopian nightmares. We're not in the big club, right? As George Carlin says. So therefore, our voices aren't elevated the way the Ridley Scotts, the Spielbergs of the world are. And it's unfortunate, but people need to know where they can get a hold of your films, because Prime for Panic is out now. They can get it on Iconic, but where else can people find it?
They can find it on Vimeo On Demand. I've got a few films on there as well. Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis shows you how hypnotic and hypnotic suggestions and that sort of thing are, and trickery is used in every area of your life. To the same sort of mind control techniques are used in every way, every part of your life to control you. Social media, one I've done one called Plugged In, shows you how social media is affecting young people. I will say on that, the reason why those films are so well received, and the documentaries like I make are never going to be received, because documentaries like I make require something of you. They require you to change. They challenge you to change. People don't want to. They can't be asked. Why would you? So you watch a film like that, and it's fast food. It's just fast food. You can just go. But also there's other elements of that. There's predictive programming, as you say. So they're kind of laying it down for the future. So you kind of get used to it subconsciously. You just accept it. But there's also something called revelation of the method, which I believe Spielberg and George Lucas and these guys were doing more than predictive programming. Revelation is the method. It's a satanic tool that they tell you. They have to tell you what they're going to do for you to have a chance, theoretically, to stop it. And if you choose not to stop it, then the karma is on you. Now that's a Sabbatean satanic ritual. So now they believe that, well, actually, we told you what we were doing. They've told you in The Simpsons for years what they're doing. They've told you on album front covers what you're doing. If you still decide not to do it, it's your own fault. You've decided not to. So that's the revelation of the method. That's basically what they have to do to unload their own karma. Spielberg, I don't even believe Spielberg is his real name. I have very little trust that Steven Spielberg is his real name. Spiel and Berg, it means big lie, big sales pitch. Spielberg is big sales pitch. It's ridiculous. Well, a Berg, mountain, huge. Mm-hmm. Spiel, sales pitch. It's Spielberg. He's just, to me, he's a character. He's always been a character. If you look at his earlier films, like Stand By Me, they all revolve around kids going on journeys and getting abused, if you remember.
Yep.
Now, I think he was abused as a kid. I think that's what's happened. And he was brought up to be in the film industry. He had a shitload of talent and they used him all his life. Spielberg, I doubt that's his real name. George Lucas. Lucas means light. Come on. Just so happens that they're their real name. I don't believe they're real names. I believe we're seeing characters in all walks of life played out, given false names, especially in the film industry. I know that Dave Geffen, who runs most of Hollywood now, is someone who very rarely gets spoken about, but needs to be spoken about.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, and he's behind Den, Digital Entertainment Network.
Yes,
if you watch An Open Secret with Bryan Singer, that guy never gets spoken about. He's the one that went after Michael Jackson. Now, if anyone watches the recent documentaries, not Leave and Never Allow, which was a complete whitewash, one-sided story, no evidence, just two interviews with a load of drone footage. If you watch what happened to Michael Jackson from 1993 onwards, he fell out with Spielberg and Dave Geffen because he was supposed to sign to Geffen's record label. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to because I think he found out something. He was in there with Spielberg and George Lucas at the same time doing a thing called Captain EO.
Yep.
And Paul McCartney, going off tangent here, but Paul McCartney was the one who introduced him to buy Neverland, which was called something else ranch. So he only found that ranch because of Paul McCartney. Now, I think Michael Jackson was used all of his life. Mm-hmm. And I think they bunged a load on him. 1993, they bunged Oprah in his life to do the big interview. Naomi Campbell in the closet video. Harvey Weinstein has been known to put false stories about Michael Jackson in the press. They were all after him. So, guys, you've been lied to on a monumental scale. So if you go to Hollywood and dig underneath, no one speaks about Dave Geffen. No one. And they need to. And Dave Geffen is the business partner of Steven Spielberg in DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
DreamWorks stole Michael Jackson's logo. It's the same logo. It's a guy on it. It's a boy on a half moon, half crescent moon. If you look into the satanic symbolism of the half crescent moon as well, it is to do with Saturn. Geffen's boat is called the Rising Sun, which is Ra, which is Saturn symbolism. So if you look into all these things, guys, they're everywhere. Hollywood was originally a place in Rome called Hollywood with one L, where it was built around a place called Diana's Lake, where they used to bring the rich aristocrats in, entice them in, promise them to fortune and fame and immortality to be a star, and they used to sacrifice them and steal their riches. And it looks exactly the same as the Hollywood Hills. It's all a satanic ritual. So, guys, I've looked into this stuff for years and years. This is how deep this stuff goes. But behind all of that, it's the banking families that run all of these things. It's Satanism on a mass global scale. Hollywood and music and film industry is a satanic ritual. Both of them are.
Just watch the rituals. Super Bowl halftime show and people see that and they go, oh, isn't this great that Beyonce is dancing around here? Oh, Jennifer Lopez is dancing around. Wait, what? Why is that pentagram? Why is that flaming pentagram? Is that Moloch? Everything. You watch, if you watch these opening ceremonies for the Olympics, if you watch the halftime show for Super Bowl, if you watch a lot of these the MTV Music Awards and everything, man, there is a lot of symbolism in your face. If you watch any Lady Gaga video or whatever, I mean, it's undeniable. It's there. People can deny whether or not these stars recognize what's going on or that they know that they're how deep their involvement is in this. You know, that's debatable. But the symbolism is not debatable. It's there. It's there specifically. I know how Hollywood works. I had a really good friend who was an art director for a long time. They don't just accidentally do music videos. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. They decide what they're going to do. They build the sets accordingly. They go out and get all these things. So to put a burning pentagram during a music video or a halftime show gets signed off on by several people. I mean, it's not like it just accidentally happens to be there. So there's a lot of this, and you have to wonder, are they casting spells? Or is that the whole point of this? And most people, like, you know, like me, I don't think too deeply about Hollywood, you know, as normally. But when I do, when I start to take a look at it, when I put my little tinfoil hat on, my God, the signs of satanic exposure is literally everywhere. And then you see the cast of characters, you know, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, the guys that Arno Milcham, the guys that are financing these films, and you dig into their background, you go, oh, these are some of the worst people in the world. So Hollywood is, you know, people say, well, it's a cesspit filled with the dregs of humanity. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And people, and they exploit vulnerable people that have a dream, that want to be stars, and they take advantage of you, whether you're a child acting in Hollywood, which we know that gets really dark in Disney's role in that, or whether you're just some, you know, 19-year-old starlet that thinks you're going to come to Hollywood and make it big. And you know what? Some of them do. And you know how some of them make it big, like Jennifer Lawrence? They fuck Harvey Weinstein. And they get the roles, and they do that, and they participate in that, and they dig it, you know, and people get discarded, and that you wonder why so many people in Hollywood are strung out on drugs and alcohol and have such dysfunctional relationships. It's like a magnet for the, you know, people with low self-esteem or people that have this dream, and they wind up doing, compromising themselves and doing unspeakable things to get the part. It's really disgusting. And I wonder, as a filmmaker like you, somebody that is a good person that is trying to point out all this, it must be like running uphill trying to get projects made. And I know that, you know, working with Iconic and everything, you've been able to get these projects made. It's wonderful that there's an island of sanity like Iconic's platform where you can get all these great things in this ocean of Hollywood pedophilia and satanic imagery and the media companies running things. It's amazing that it's great that you're doing the work that you're doing. I love it. Obviously, I love it. I think people should check it out. People should go sign up for Iconic. By the way, there's a 7-day trial, right? Is it still running? You get a 7-day free trial. Mm-hmm. People can sign up there to check it out and see your work. My show, Macroaggressions, if you're watching this, it'll be there as well. Your show, Glitch in the Code, your second show, Scrambled Heads. Tell me about that.
That's not going to be on. That's not an Iconic, but that's with Richard Brandon, who I do a lot with. No. Well, what it is we do it for a laugh, just to kind of keep me and Richard laughing about this stuff, but also it's to kind of, it gives you a bit of sanity. When you look into conspiracy theories, you will go nuts. And you will try and tell everyone around them, and you'll go for a phase of trying to tell everyone it, and then you'll go for a phase of no one wants to hear it. Then you'll, and it's kind of like trying to keep the comedy edge to it, because it is really weird and it is really funny, and it's absurdly funny. And that's what it's about. It's a bit of light relief for conspiracy theorists, and it's kind of like how to keep yourself sane whilst looking into these things, because they all do connect eventually, and you will go down one rabbit hole and coming out the other, and it's like a golf course. They all, the golf balls, eventually you'll come out one hole, come out of another, because as we were talking about here, as you've seen, they all connect. They do all connect. There is only one agenda. That one agenda is to have complete totalitarian control over the smallest human population ever, in the smallest amount of hands of an elite predator class. That's the only thing. And they'll use whatever your name you want to call: New World Order, Illuminati, Zionism, Sabbatean Frankism. They don't really care what the name is. The problem, the point is full control. So whatever avenue you look down, Hollywood, UFOs, you look down NASA, you can go down the music industry, you can go down politics, you can look into the military industrial complex, banking. They all come out at the same point. because it's the same hand that's pushing it around. So this was the whole point, was to kind of go, if you go down these routes, you're going to come up here and you're going to come up there and you're going to kind of come up here. And also, don't spend your whole life worrying about these things, because just do your bit, laugh at it when you can, meet some lovely people like I've met you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride, enjoy the information, enjoy knowing you're doing something worthwhile in the world. And then when you're gone, you're gone. But don't waste your time trying to squeeze the world into your box and try and get them to see the conspiracy of it all, because most people won't. And it's not really for me, personally, is what I think. It's not really for me to push that upon anyone. Some people want to live a happy life and want to just not bother with it all.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That should be fine. And unfortunately, the more people do that, it affects the ones that do want to wake up. And there's the issue. And that's why I believe, going back to what I said earlier, there'll be a society split. And I actually might be quite happy with that, to be honest, because the less greed, gluttony, and all of the sins, the less greed you have, the less gluttony you have, the less you need in life, the more you're able to do. So as you said, how do I make these films? Well, I don't charge a lot to make them. I don't live off a massive budget. I don't need a lot to live. I don't travel the world doing them. I find the story. I don't need to get famous people in them, really big names in them. I tell the story on the smallest budget I can. I live off of very little, and I spend my time making them, and they go up on a platform and I earn a modest living, because that's the only way to do it without compromising and going to Hollywood or going to these big places or start wanting you to tell the story in their way or doing stuff or take you to weird sex parties. And them days are well behind me. I'm not doing that anymore. And it's like, you have to live off of something small. If you can bring your greed in on what you actually need, then you want for nothing from no one. Therefore, they can't control you, because what they're offering, you don't want. Don't need it. I don't need it. Don't need the new iPhone. Don't even need 5G. I barely need the internet. I could still make films if I didn't have the internet. I could still write books. I could still open a little bookshop from weird, wonderful books and sell a modest living. So I think one way to battle this is we get our rights taken away from us, is to kind of lower our wants and needs in the world down to our basic. What do we really need? Because everything else needs to go away. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to travel much in the next 10 years because of this, for filmmaking. But I can still tell you the same story with 3 or 4 people in the UK that I could tell traveling the world interviewing other people.
Yeah.
The information would be the same. So it's not really needed. Do I need to go on a plane and come travel to the farthest reaches of the world to tell the same story? Of course I don't. Information will be the same. So I think we're going to have a rearrangement of how we function in the world.
Okay.
I think, especially as filmmakers, and also be aware as a filmmaker, these totalitarian Nazi rules come in. You're going to have a date with destiny where you go, I'm not going to shut up, or I'm going to stop, or I am. There is a point where you're going to have to go, my film work is going to basically mean that all my podcasts or my books are going to mean that one day I'm going to have to face that moment where I either keep on speaking my truth, or I do go, okay, done my bit, it's not worth it anymore, I'll have to toe the line a bit. And there's nothing wrong with either. Depends on where you are in life. But there is, I think, David said that recently and it really hit home, is there's a date with destiny for every single one of us who are pushing back against this. And we'll see where we are when that day comes along.
He's Richard Willett. Check out his documentaries. They're phenomenal. His work is outstanding. Thanks, Richard, for coming on. We'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you.